at the Networkers Networking event. It's an event not to be missed.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com. Interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 20th of March, with me, Paul Andrews, and Mr. Marvellous, Martin White.
Welcome back. You've still got a bit of a sniffle there, haven't you?
I've got a terrible cold. I have man pneumonia or something.
Oh, you poor thing.
I know.
Well, how did you get that, playing in the snow last week?
Probably, I don't know. I've had it for ages now. I can't seem to shift it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
And I forgot my man flu tablets for you that I bought.
Yeah, well, you did promise that you were going to come and help me, you said.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then what do? You let me down, didn't you?
I let you down.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what, read an email then.
I'm just trying to find one, actually.
I was going to say, I gave you a pile of them.
I know. You read one.
He's so useless. I gave him a pile of pre-written emails, and he goes off piste anyway.
I tell you,
and
what,
makes them up as he goes along.
Following on the back of Paul's interview, the average UK small business spends £5,000 and 3 working weeks every year on tax compliance.
Yep.
So we've just said that Paul will do bookkeeping, all inclusive, for £149 a month.
That's where we start.
Yep. Right. So that's nowhere near £5,000 a year.
He's no flies on him, is there?
And actually, that doesn't even factor in the business owner's time.
Yep.
So that just kind of puts that whole interview into kind of perspective a little bit, doesn't it?
Absolutely,
so it's ridiculous. And actually, that burden is just going to get worse, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, in terms of, you know, making tax digital, that whole, you know, agenda that, that HMRC have got. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Walk on the Wild Side returns for a second year. It's the second year running at the Kenwood Trust and promises to be a great way to spend your Easter bank holiday. Following the success of Walk on the Wild Side last year, Kenwood Trust in Yalding are hosting their popular day out again this Easter. The free entry event will be perfect occasion for family, with many attractions for the kids, including a fun fair, a circus tent and archery. There'll also be a variety of animals at Walk on the Wild Side, including lambs, guinea pigs, Kenwood Trust's alpacas, Pepe and Luigi, and pony rides. Sean Williams, who's the fundraising and volunteer admin support for Kenwood Trust, said, "We're really looking forward to hosting Walk on the Wild Side this year, as spring is blooming across our Yalding site. It promises to be a fun-filled day for families, with more entertainment than ever and a bustling market on site too. There'll be free circus skills workshops all day, so see you on the 2nd of April." So do go along to that. And they're doing this to raise funds to celebrate the Kenwood Trust, which is a charity, their 50th anniversary this year. So they'll be having a whole series of events throughout 2018 to celebrate. You can find out about all of this and everything else they're doing by going to their website, which is Kenwood, K-E-N-W-A-R-D, kenwoodtrust.org.uk.
We've got some positive macroeconomic data coming out, which is good.
It's easy for you to say.
So salaries were on the rise in February as employers pushed to attract more candidates. With many of the nation's key sectors witnessing above-average salary growth last month. That's a really positive thing, because I think, is it real wage growth has been flat for the last 10 years?
Absolutely.
So that's a positive thing. And then to back that up, Lloyds Bank's business barometer for January shows overall business confidence increased by 7 points to a nine-month high of 35%. And this is being driven by a high in economic optimism, which jumped 23 points to 31%. So, you know, again, confounding all the Brexit doom mongers. And I think, you know, for me, the key thing here is that, you know, we need to have the confidence that we can actually stand on our own 2 feet. And, you know, show some of that British kind of bulldog spirit that we're renowned for. Mm. And yeah, just not be afraid, basically.
Just be proactive and work hard.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've always done that in this country. And we should, continue.
Look, it doesn't matter what decisions anybody makes about anything. Life doesn't suddenly come to a stop because you've made a decision.
Yeah.
What you do is you adapt and adopt and carry on and muddle through based on whatever that decision was. It doesn't matter what decision you make, you just deal with the consequences afterwards.
Exactly.
Anybody in business knows that, because you can't plan for anything these days because the government come along and mess it up. they come along and slap a change. I was reading something yesterday. We're going to talk to Peter later, and it might be something he's got a comment on. But, a while back, they were trying to encourage investment in business, and they had this thing where you could earn £5,000 worth of dividends tax-free. Yeah? So people started investing in stuff, and then a year later they changed it, going, no, actually, you can only have £2,000. Mm. I mean, how can you plan anything on that basis? It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Focus on what you can control, and don't worry about the stuff that you can't.
Just get on with everything else and adapt to it as it comes down the pike. Yeah. You've got no choice, really, have you?
Good.
I've had a tweet from Kent Creative.
Ah.
And they say, Vanilla Web, we'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker, please. The next Kent Creative Connect event is all about marketing for creatives. There you go.
Should have tuned in at the beginning, Matthew.
Yeah. It will include presentations from marketing specialists and workshop sessions, and it's taking place on Friday the 20th of April in Faversham. You can find out all about it by going to the website kentcreativearts.co.uk/events. Martin.
I do feel incredibly sorry for the wonderful people at Grow Kent who are putting on the event in Canterbury next week, because they actually had to cancel the West Kent conference due to the adverse weather that we've had recently.
Yep.
So originally that was the 28th of February. I mean, you think about the logistics involved in A, organising an event like that, and then B, cancelling it and having to reorganise it with all the keynote speakers, everybody else. Mm. So the new date is the 26th of April, and this really is very much targeted at businesses who are based in and around West Kent, in particular around the Tunbridge areas, Tunbridge Wells area. So again, there are speakers, panel sessions, networking opportunities, and there'll also be a whole raft of special offers from exhibitors there on the day that your business can take advantage of. So book onto that at growkent.co.uk. I'm sure there's probably an early bird booking price or offer that they're running. I think it's usually £27. So growkent.co.uk, that's the West Kent, rescheduled West Kent conference.
Absolutely, some great speakers there as well. Jonathan Nee from Shepherd Neame is one of the speakers. I can remember
Eckersley, is he managing to come back?
Phil Eckersley from the Bank of England, he's going to be speaking. Barnaby Winter, a whole range of speakers, so do come along to that. It's going to be good. And guess who's chairing that? Oh yeah, that'll be me. Slope Off Friday, a Business Bunker shout out please, Vanilla Web. This month's venue is The Carriage in Faversham. It's a past nominee for Best Restaurant in Kent. And Slope Off commences on Friday, April the 6th at 2 p.m. and finishes sometime the following Monday if previous events are anything to go by. If you DM Jules Serkin, that's at Jules Serkin, if you want to book it. And she's put some lovely pictures up of Pete Allen, who's next door right at this moment, and lovely Natalie Benaig and Andrea Barker and a few other people that attended the last one. So that's the notorious Slope Off Friday. It is happening again on Friday, April the 6th at The Carriage in Faversham. So do book it if you are that way inclined and you've got four days of oblivion that you want to go on.
It's not quite that bad.
Yeah, it is.
It can be.
Listen, mate, I'm the one that gets phone calls at 2 a.m. from Jules going, yeah, you never guess where we are. We're dead at lunch and we're dancing on the pavement in Herne Bay. And why are you ringing me at 2 a.m. to tell me that, George? You couldn't come in your car and pick us up, could you? No. Oh,
do you provide that service?
No.
No. Oh, okay. I'll ring you next time.
I had a message for her and the second word was off. Yeah.
Right, Paul McCartney, who was on recently.
All right, whack. That Paul McCartney, yes, okay.
Not that one.
Okay.
A guest of ours recently. is running on the back of his... he had a really good interview, actually, on Business Bunker. It really resonated with a lot of people in terms of his business coaching business. He's running a free business breakthrough session.
Right.
So he'll spend an hour of his time with you at no cost. And there's three key kind of takeouts from that session, really. One is about helping you understand what a crystal clear vision for your ultimate business success will look like for you as an individual and your business. He'll help you uncover the hidden challenges that may be inhibiting the growth in your business and actually leaves you working far too many hours in the business. And hopefully, at the end of all of that, his goal is to help you leave that session with a renewed and re-energized and re-inspired vision and strategy for your business.
Sounds good.
So spend an hour with Paul. In fact, I'm spending an hour with him after this today, doing exactly that. So
really nice chap.
Yeah, really good, and really knows his stuff. So it's a free business breakthrough session. It's Paul McCartney. Again, all of the details of that will be on the community section of Supply My Business.
Yeah. Cool. I had a tweet from Athelbury Limited, Vanilla Web Business Bunker. Can we have a huge shout out, please, for our daughter, Francesca? She's doing the Swim 22 for Diabetes UK. It's the equivalent of a Channel Swim. She has her own health issues, but wanted to do this in memory of her grandfather who died of the disease. We're very proud, especially as she smashed her £200 target. So fantastic. Well done. We're supporting you, Francesca. Go for it. Swim like mad. And that's the lovely folks at Athelbury Limited on the Twitter, ATHELBRAELTD. Give them a follow. And, hey, support Francesca in her swim for diabetes. Nice one.
Very quick shout-out for Pete Bresser, who was also on the show. Was he on the show with Paul that day? I think he was, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was, yeah.
In last month.
Yeah.
So you've still got a week, just over a week, to take advantage of Pete's photography offer. So he obviously specialises in commercial portrait photography. And if you need some new professional headshots, for example, of the key staff within your business, Pete is doing 30% off his standard rates up until the end of March. So up until the end of next week. And I'm sure if you booked it before the end of next week with him, he would honour it after that date. But the key thing is you need to book it with him before the end of next week, and he will give you 30% off your corporate staff headshots.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. We're going to talk to our next guest now. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show after quite a long time. I'm not sure exactly how long ago it was. Maybe you can remember. But Mr. Peter Andrews. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me back.
It's an absolute pleasure. It was quite some time ago that you were last on the show.
Well, I was trying to remember whether it was last year or the year before.
Mm. I've got a feeling it was with Paul. I think you came on as a double act last time.
No. Did you?
No?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Paul shaking his head.
No, I don't think so.
Do we look like a double act?
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back, Paul. It's lovely, Peter. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you.
Why don't you kick off by telling people what it is you do?
Well, I started off originally doing something similar to what Paul does, but I've developed into something that I enjoy far more, is pushing part-time FD business, helping small business owners who mainly, once they've started and they start to grow, the cash flow starts to be a problem, needs managing, and they end up doing it. And I'm passionate that small business owners should enjoy it and have the free time. To have the free time, you need to have the money. And it's like a vicious circle. They didn't start the business to be bookkeepers and credit controllers.
Absolutely, yeah.
They started the business because they had an ability and an affinity with the product and which they wanted to develop. So I'm effectively out there to free up that time, help them, not just with cash, but to develop the business whole, look at the whole spectrum, look at the KPIs, look at their systems, And because of my background, most of my background has been in manufacturing, I don't just look at the financial systems, your purchase ledger, your sales ledger. I also look at your production reporting, your KPIs.
Okay, all right. So the KPIs, for those who don't know, key performance indicators, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
And see, if they are getting that information, a lot of it's a lot of the companies don't have that information. So we develop it and try to show them how useful they can be and how they can use it.
Mm.
And develop the staff to actually use those. You know, we're quite happy to go in there once, twice a week, three times a month, wherever, or as a one-off if somebody has a problem. Can you come and look at this, see what you can do? And as it announced on the Supply My Business, with all new clients, for the first 3 months, if I can't generate cash, whether it be profit or pure cash in the bank, I won't charge anything.
Okay.
So there's that offer out there, and has been out there for some months.
Okay, so basically, you're working as a part-time interim finance director, but more than that as well, you're looking at a whole heap of things other than just finances,
yeah,
when appropriate. And what you're suggesting is, for a new potential client, you can go in, do an analysis, and find them some way of saving money or making money or using their money better. And yeah, if you can't do that, there's no charge.
Yeah.
Well, can't say fair than that, really, can you?
Well, exactly.
You're nothing, there's nothing to lose there, is there, really?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. Got a client already.
I mean, there's a definite theme here, isn't there, you know, with what Paul was saying as well earlier on. You know, the simple fact of the matter is that, you know, small business owners are generally very good at what they do.
Yep.
But what they don't do is, you know, the financial side of managing their business, because that's not what they're trained to do. So, you know, if you can call on expertise like that and access expertise like Paul and Peter in that way with kind of zero risk to your business, why wouldn't you at least have the conversation?
Mm.
And I think that's the key thing, you know, have the conversation. And, you know, the proof of the pudding is always in the eating, and see how you go from there.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many issues here. I mean, we've all identified the same thing, because it is a thing, you know, that people don't go into business, unless it's their profession, to do the finances or to do their VAT returns or to do their annual tax returns. You go into business because you're, you know, you sell cars, or, you know, you're a flower arranger or whatever it is that your business is doing. That's why you go into business. But increasingly, especially with the massive regulation books we have now, you spend much more of your time doing stuff that you don't want to do, yeah, rather than the stuff you do want to do.
Yeah.
And of course, being human beings, the stuff we don't want to do, we put off, we do it badly, we half do it, we, you know, start it and stop it, and all those other things, which is why it goes wrong.
Yeah. And you resent it. You resent having to do that stuff. I mean, yeah, I know I do.
Yeah. No, me too. You know, when I first started my business, I hated all that kind of stuff. I never, you know, I just didn't want to do it. And
because it's somebody else controlling your time in your business by adding another layer of, yeah, of bureaucracy.
And,
quite
and
often.
You'd always end up in the same space. You know, on the 30th of January, about 5 to midnight, you'd be going, I better do this now because I've got exactly 5 minutes to get this in. And then, you know, you go, oh, I can't find anything. Where did I put the paper? I've lost my shoebox. Full of research, you know, it was always a nightmare.
So, I mean, we all understand the logic of yeah, everything we're talking about here.
But
what is it in the psyche of small business owners that stops them doing that and asking for help?
Well, it's a good question, isn't it? I mean, and one of the questions out there in the big wide world today is, world number one tennis player has a coach.
Yeah.
Even though he's number one, he still has a coach.
Yeah.
But we have lots of businesses out there who think they can do it on their own.
Yep.
You know, they're very good at what they do, but they could all do with a little help sometimes.
Sure.
And I found, even when I was employed in business, one of the roles of my job was, when I was working for an MD, is it's like, come in. And he'd have a moan, and he'd have a whinge, or he'd ask some question. He needs somebody to sound off.
A sounding board. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's quite useful. But you obviously need to know about the business before somebody can sound you off about it.
Yeah.
And one of the things I try to do is, you know, you're not going to be there forever. You hope the business is going to be there forever. Is train the staff. Mm. So this is the way to do it, because this is what's going to give the guy.
Absolutely. And one of the things I like with how Peter's addressed this, because my, and this is a kind of opinion just based on what I'm looking at and an assumption, but I assume a lot of small businesses don't particularly go out and look for help of that kind, and they don't do it because they're a bit scared, like they think it's going to be expensive and they're not sure what to look for and they don't know what they're going to get. Mm-hmm. Just what I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. It's I see this. I own a business that develops websites, and it's one of the things we see with small businesses. They don't really know what they want, but they're terrified of actually coming to us and going, you know, can you tell me what I want, in case I go, yeah, and it's only going to be £50,000. You know, because their expertise is just so far out of kilter with it, they don't even know what to ask for. And I suspect there's a little bit of that involved that says, you know, what if I'm ripped off? This is going to be expensive. It's going to hurt. And if I, you know, if it ends up at nothing, I've got a double hurt here. Yeah. So what I love about what Peter's doing is you've given them that option of seeing.
Yeah, I think also some of those guys will say, I've got an accountant, I've got a chartered accountant.
Yeah.
But they don't offer what we offer, what Paul's offer.
Yeah.
Because these guys are professionals.
Mm.
They've never worked out in actually at the coalface, effectively.
Yeah.
And find out the problems, how to address the problems.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of accountants are really only interested in compliance.
Yeah.
You know, it's the kind of the bread and butter stuff that they do at year end.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're not necessarily trained as management accountants, which Peter is, which I think is a completely different discipline.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, being a financial accountant and an auditor is a completely different skill set to being a management accountant, which is why you have two different qualifications.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a whole range of things. You know, I mean, not knocking accountants. You know, they're accountants that specialise in tax and they have lots to offer and stuff like that. But it's horses for courses, and I think you're right, Mike. I think you hit the nail on the head. Not only that, is that lay people don't understand the differences between it. You know, they think, you know, someone that does stuff with numbers is some accountancy type of person, and that's all you need.
There is something in the psyche, though, I think, guys, of small business owners that stops them. You know, there's a barrier there, and there's an invisible barrier there that stops them actually crossing over and asking for help. I mean, we find it on our platform. You know, we've got members on Sublime My Business who will not actively engage with the platform to help us.
Yeah, help them.
Help them.
Yeah.
And you say to people, look, you know, you're signed up, you've got a profile live on our platform, but you're not allowing us to actually get out there and market your business because you haven't written us a business blog, or you haven't come up with a call to action, or you're not running any events that you know that we can promote on your behalf.
Yeah.
And there is there's something there that stops them doing that. Mm. And quite often, I think a lot of small business owners just don't want to put their head above the water.
FUD.
In case somebody notices them.
FUD.
FUD.
Fear, uncertainty and doubt.
Right. And that really holds a lot of people back.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't got, you know, everything we're talking about, it comes back to this. If you haven't got the specialist knowledge yourself, then you need to ask somebody that has.
Absolutely.
And you need to move forward step by step on that basis.
You're absolutely right. And my point was, and this is where I think Peter's nailed it with what he's offering here, is that a lot of the problem is, though, a lot of people don't know what questions to ask. That's the problem. They go, well, I don't know. Do I need a management accountant, a tax specialist, a bookkeeper? I don't know what I need. Yeah. So there's an opportunity here with Peter to find out what you need. Yeah. Because what he's saying is, I'll come and do this. If I don't do something financially to your benefit, it ain't going to cost you. Yeah. You've got nothing to lose.
And it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the initial thing is to go through, find out the business, talk to the guy. You want them to talk. They don't want to listen to me.
Mm.
At the end of that, you'll know, and I'll know, he'll know, whether I can do anything for him.
Absolutely.
You know, and if they've got the fear that you just mentioned, speak to the likes of Paul or speak to them. We'll tell them, yes, we can help, or no, we can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the one thing you will get is a reality check.
Absolutely.
You know, if you are somebody that actually knows where they want to get to in their business, Peter will be able to look at your business model and say you're never going to generate enough margin, for example, selling that product or service.
Don't even get me started on that.
to actually get you where you want to get to. So you need to rethink your business model.
How are you going to make money out of this? Well, I'm going to sell on those. But you can only sell 10 a year. Right. And they're 100 quid each, That's £1,000. Exactly. And that's it.
So, you know, on that level alone, you know, in terms of, you know, well, let me understand your business model.
Yeah, absolutely.
And where are you trying to get to, you know, and actually marry the two up and understand, you know, that there's a big gulf there between, you know, what your vision for your business is and what the business can realistically achieve.
Mm. Absolutely. Really important point. We could talk about it forever. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time and we've got another great guest that we want to talk to in a minute. So for the moment, Peter Andrews, thank you very much for that. If people want to find out more about what you do, how you do it, and to engage with you, what's the best way to do that?
Email is peter@kent-fms.co.uk. Website is the same, www.kent-fms.co.uk. Twitter, Facebook.
All the same.
LinkedIn, out there, wherever.
Yeah, okay, cool. So check the website out, find out. Get in touch with Peter by email. Peter, for the moment, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Cool. I've got loads of emails. We've still got hundreds of tweets. I've just got 280 more tweets. So we ain't going to get around to all of those. So I'm sorry if we don't get to read your tweet out. We will try and do it next week. If you're interested in trading in France, please see below three events this month which might be of interest to you. Manana, tomorrow, the 21st of March in Canterbury, is Trading Internationally Prospexit. That's a Kent Business School. That's the University of Kent. Soundbite session. The 23rd of March in London is Doing Business in France. Discover Normandy in a double-decker bus. 28th of March in Canterbury, coffee with a delegation of French businesses at the Canterbury Innovation Centre at 3 p.m. If you want to go on that one, you need to email Paul Spree, that's paul.spree, S-P-R-E-E, at canterbury.gov.uk. For all the others, you can find out about it. This is from Francois Ranier. You can find out by going to Francois' website, which is acaciauk.net, A-C-A-C-I-A-U-K.net, acaciauk.net. Find out about that.
I went to one of his events last week, actually.
Thursday, yeah.
Last Thursday.
Was it good?
It was very good, yeah. I mean, you know, if you are serious about that and you go with some very specific questions, then, you know, the chances are they'll be able to answer them. And for me personally, it was all about, you know, what do chambers of commerce look like in France?
Yep.
And, you know, what I learned from that was every department in France has a chamber of commerce. And if you are a registered business in France, by law, you have to be a member of that chamber of commerce. So they're an incredibly powerful and influential organisation from that point of view. So, you'll learn a lot. Go along to that.
Chambray.
Sorry?
Chambray.
Chambray.
It's French for chamber, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I do now, you see.
I thought he was saying Chambray, that famous Irishman.
I was thinking of that liqueur that comes in the funny shape bottle.
Oh, trust. Yeah. Anyway, I want to talk to another guest. Yes. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show once more, after a long absence as well, Mr. Kevin Bates of Medic Health UK. Kevin, welcome.
Thanks a lot, Paul, and thank you, Martin, for inviting me.
Welcome back, Kevin. Always a very welcome guest.
Mm. Now, it was Applesite, because I was saying to you earlier off air that I got a text just before we came on air from my health insurer telling me they were going to call me and talk to me about my health, which is lovely. Thank you.
Well, you don't drink.
That's true, and I don't smoke.
So you haven't got to worry.
In fact,
about
I have no vices whatsoever.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
And what is it they say? You're as old as the person you...
I don't know what he's trying to say. What's he trying to say?
Yeah. Whatever they say.
Anyway.
As the person you're dating or married to.
Right, thank you for that. anyway, aside from that, I want to talk to Kevin, because he's much more interesting than you. So, Kevin, why don't you give us an overview of what it is Medic Health does?
Right, well, Medic Healthcare is an independent insurance company. We specialise in individual and business protection. And one of our real specialist areas, and one of the areas that I'm really passionate about, and anybody who knows me, I'm extremely passionate about, is private medical insurance.
Right.
And we deal with individuals, SMEs and large corporates.
Right.
I also designed some bespoke packages with individual hospital groups, and they can be for, you know, just supplying private medical insurance to specialist areas.
Mm.
I'm not here today to turn around and say anything about the NHS. I think the NHS is a fantastic system. Unfortunately, they've run out of money. They're overworked, underpaid. You know, I know that as a fact. My son is training to be a doctor, and I just hope it improves by the time he qualifies. So private medical insurance is probably one of the big hot potatoes around at the moment, and there's a lot going on, and we're extremely busy.
Okay, cool. Can I just quantify this? As an insurance provider, are you working on behalf of other insurance providers?
I've actually got a benefit. I'm very lucky to have an agency with every insurer. I also do expat and overseas.
Right.
But I also do UK residential and corporate.
Yeah.
And I'm whole of market, literally whole of market.
Okay.
I represent every insurance company. It's not just representing, you know, representing and giving advice to people.
Mm.
It's about what they do with it afterwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's making that claim. And this is where I've come. I'm very different than any other insurer out there. I will actually ask to see a copy of the GP referral so I can advise whether that would be a viable claim for somebody.
Right.
That means that, you know, we're talking about non-disclosure when we set policies up in all types of insurance. That's one of the reasons why insurance doesn't pay. So what we try to do is we try to make it easy for the person who's making the claim. The last thing they want is any stress or anything related to that when they're unwell.
Absolutely. It's one of those things, isn't it, that you're completely unwell, maybe you've been diagnosed with something and it comes as a shock, and then you've got to start arguing with an insurance company.
Well, you don't need to do that because we understand the way a referral should be directed to an insurer through the underwriting. You know, that's my background. I know all about that sort of thing, and ease the path for people to get there on their treatment plans and things.
Okay. There's a lot of myths, aren't sort of surrounding private medical insurance, particularly sort of in the whole area of pre-existing conditions. And a lot of that is actually, you can get around that.
Yeah, there are ways around it. We have, you know, I won't go into it at the moment, we have ways of, you know, medical history disregard, where we're doing large schemes where everybody comes on and your history will be disregarded, and you can go and have your hip operation next week if you joined today.
Yeah.
You know, moratorium, that's another way, FMU. But we also have a thing called fixed moratorium, and that can bring things back into play after a two-year period that you're actually having treatment for.
Right, okay.
So there's lots of ways to bring pre-existing conditions back into play. And when we're switching people to insurers to save the money on their premiums without sacrificing benefit, what we'll do is we'll look at their existing underwriting. I will ask their medical history. I don't take anything by chance. We're very different in the way we work. You know, we don't just want a disclosure. We want to know your medical history. We will give you the best sound advice. That means that when your policy is established with a new provider or a new policy, your claim will be valid.
Okay.
The other key thing is here, I think, Paul, is you know, a lot of people think they can go online and just buy this stuff online. But, you know, that's the one thing you cannot do with private medical. Because the options list, you know, if you like, if you think about...
I was just... It's funny you say, I was just going to ask Kevin to kind of step us through the kind of process of someone thinking about taking out private medical insurance. First of all, the kind of things that you might cover, and I know it could... You know, I'm not asking you to, in 5 minutes, explain the entire medical insurance.
Let me give you a bit of an idea on that.
Yeah.
So when we get somebody that comes to us, perhaps for the first time, that does have some pre-existing conditions, we will find out what those conditions are.
Yeah.
We will ask what medication they're on. We'll find out whether these are acute or chronic conditions.
Yeah.
Because one private medical insurance policy doesn't fit all. It's very much tailoring that policy and finding the right underwriting style for that person. People say, well, I have hypertension. Well, we can do an addendum. If you have a BMI of a certain weight and you've been on controlled medication for a certain period of time, it means that we can bring anything related to hypertension, like stroke, cardiovascular, or circulatory problems back into play. That's really important because a lot of the nation now are taking, you know, medication for hypertension and high blood pressures.
Absolutely.
So in other words, you tailor the package according to, you know, your medical history.
It's really
what you're going to need.
The right insurance company and knowing the underwriting. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, have tried to sell private medical insurance and failed miserably because, unfortunately, the advice they're given is not sound advice. And they, you know, we pick a lot of businesses up where people say, "Oh, I went online, look what I bought." Mm-hmm. And we say, "Well, look what you have bought." You know, we'll then drill that down and identify it, and we'll look at the outpatient benefit limits and cancer cover and all what the policy gives you.
Can I ask some dumb questions? And they are going to be dumb.
We love dumb questions.
You know, most of us, our experience of insurance comes down to car insurance and home and content insurance. And there's a big thing now. I've just been through this myself. You know, I've been with a car insurance company for donkey's years. The renewal comes through and they doubled the premiums for no good reason. I've never made a claim, ever. And they doubled the premiums all of a sudden. And you ring them up and you go, "You doubled the premiums." They go, "Yeah, sorry." You go, "I'm going to leave." And they go, "Yeah, bye." And then you go and see them advertising exactly the same policy that you've just left at a fraction of the price. And it confuses people no end. Now, with medical insurance, there's no... I'm assuming there isn't a similar no-claims bonus type of approach to it.
Your policy, Vitality, does actually have a no-claims bonus. Does it? You'll be very glad to find out if you've made lots of claims, because it'll go up like a space rocket. different insurers work in different ways. There are many insurers that have a no-claims discount, which can be extremely painful at renewal. We can protect that no-claims discount at the outset for a certain period of time.
Right.
There are also other providers that will not have any increase due to claims activity within that year. I tend to like those policies because if you've, you know, unfortunately got a big one and you've made a £100,000 claim, you know, and some of my claims, from some of my clients, I've seen them £500,000. Right. It's not unheard of.
Right.
£100,000 claim for certain conditions is also not unheard of. You know, when you go and have a hip operation, you're talking £10,000. These things start to rack up. That's without going and having the consultations, the MRI, the CT, PET scans, and the physiotherapy, everything that goes along with it.
Yeah,
we're seeing medical inflationary costs going up because more people are living longer but in ill health, so they're needing to have medical intervention.
My mum was very lucky recently. She had to have two cataract operations for her eyes, and she was very lucky to get them done on the NHS. But my father, for example, was turned down on the NHS for the same operation.
Right.
And I think paid £6,000 to get his done privately.
It's not surprising. Anything to do with medical now is expensive.
Just
to go and see a consultant, you know, I've just helped a client through a really serious neurosurgical back problem, and each time he went along to see the consultant, it was £250.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the other thing that's worrying is, you know, it varies according to where you are geographically in the country. You know, there isn't a sort of a standard kind of measuring stick, if you like.
No, because London hospitals are charging up to 60% more than outer suburbs and local hospitals, so we would drive that geographically. But also, what you've got to remember is, if you're dealing with somebody like ourselves that's really experienced in the market, we know the underwriters, we know the actuaries, we know the people to speak to. If you phone up off, you know, and say, "I'd like to buy some private medical insurance, please," you're going to be speaking to somebody there that really only has one product. And do you really want advice from somebody that has a very limited knowledge and also only has one product that they can advise you on? So we would advise you on everything. We do a whole of market review, which will give you every case scenario.
So would it be true to say that one of the best ways of doing this is to take a policy when you're younger and fitter and healthier, and if it's the type of policy that has a no-claims benefit attached to it, that's great. Because I'm assuming that, unlike a lot of policies, as you get older, it gets more expensive. Whereas with cars and things like that, the older you get, the cheaper it gets, because you know, you can't drive very fast anymore.
Well, private medical insurance will go up as you get older, but it's all about looking at the risk factor from, you know, the elderly. Elderly are probably going to make more claims, but that isn't true now. You know, I've always said that illness has no respect for age, creed, or gender. And I've seen claims coming through for children, young adults. On the way here, I had a claim from somebody who's had pain, you know, lots of pain in the groin. He may have some type of hernia. This is a 21-year-old. We're seeing a lot more people actually taking care of their health and saying, "Well, if I can't work and I've got to be off work for a certain period of time while I'm waiting for treatment, that's going to affect my family."
Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of child-only policies at the moment as well, where mum and dad or grandfather or grandmother will pay for the child, and it's really, really cheap.
Okay.
But what Kevin will also do, which I think is really important in a business context, is he'll tie this in with business protection.
Mm. I was just going to say, the route that you were taking there, that's a great thing. And one of the reasons why so many people, we have a free health service in this country, but by so many people will take extra health cover because of the amount of time it takes to get treatment from the NHS on a lot of conditions, if you run a business, you can't afford the time.
There's three main reasons why people take private medical insurance is who, when and where.
Mm.
They want to have the choice.
Mm.
Now, the NHS does a grand job, fantastic job, and I applaud everybody in the NHS, and they should all get a medal, to be honest. But unfortunately, it's broken.
Yeah.
They do a great job when it comes to accident and emergency.
Yeah.
It's when we're looking at elective procedures or after you've been into hospital, you come out and you're waiting to go back for your diagnostics and your consultations and your treatment plans. They're taking far too long to put these into action.
Yeah.
I mean, just to put that into context, I've got a friend whose daughter-in-law is a GP.
Mm.
And her salary is actually paid by a subcontractor that the NHS Trust have brought in to manage all the payroll for her GP surgery. She hasn't been paid for 3 months. I mean, she hasn't been paid her salary for 3 months. So we're looking potentially at another Carillion kind of collapse here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unheard of, isn't it?
Yep.
People on the front line not being paid.
Yeah, crazy. Coming back to medical insurance in general for people, I mean, I'm trying to get a feel. Because I told you that I've had a medical an insurance policy for donkey's years, and I think this week it's Vitality. They keep changing their name every 10 minutes.
Still called Vitality.
When I started, it wasn't, and I can't remember.
Standard Life.
But I had it before Standard Life as well. Whoever that was before Standard Life.
Back a while.
Yeah, it was a long while ago, and then Standard Life took it over, and then Vitality, whatever. Anyway, but what I'm trying to get a feel for is when you're thinking about private medical insurance, what kind of options do you have? Can you take out a very narrow policy that only covers a few things, or is it better to take out a general policy that covers health, dentistry, your eyes, your hearing? What kind of things can you cover?
It's all about affordability, and that's the main thing, is to look at the affordability. We work within a certain remit from the FCA and the guidelines. We would recommend something that is affordable for longevity.
Hmm.
Now, you can get something, you might turn and say, well, what I really want to do is cover for any main conditions.
Yeah.
I definitely want to have cover for cancer. Hmm. I want cover for heart conditions. Those big ones that are going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
You can elect to have a policy with or without psychiatry, with or without therapies, with or without dental and optical, with or without other benefits. So you could have extended cancer or standard cancer. It's a minefield. Also, people find that they're paying a lot of money for a hospital list that they're probably never going to use.
Yeah.
So we look at hospital lists. We have things called six-week options, which means for cost containment, if you can't be done on the NHS within 6 weeks, it will be done privately and the insurer will foot the bill. Lots of ways of making it affordable. We like to expel the myth that private medical insurance is expensive. It actually isn't, and a lot of people have been surprised when we've actually done a review and they turn and said, wow, we didn't realize we could get so much for that premium.
Absolutely,
that's the important thing. You'll get a whole range. Well, Kevin, because he's done it for me, did it for me recently, you'll get a whole range of options. And what you think might be the cheapest won't necessarily be the cheapest and won't be the best value.
And I think that kind of nails what you were saying earlier about, trying to use some money comparison or off site
it's not
or whatever.
A commodity. Yeah. You're not buying a commoditized product.
No, exactly.
Don't make that mistake. It's not home insurance.
Well, what they'll give you is they'll give you no outpatient, limited hospital list, a whopping great excess, because they start at the bottom.
Right.
They're scared to actually tell you this is a comprehensive policy. And, the best way to start is at the top and work down.
Yeah.
Because if you start at the bottom, you're gonna undersell a private medical insurance policy to somebody. And that would be catastrophic if they needed to make a claim and it didn't cover from what they need.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you a question that you can't answer. No.
How old are you?
How much is it going to cost?
How many exactly. Yeah.
How many medical conditions?
Well, what you need is Kevin's free whole of market private medical review and recommendation.
Right.
You sign that Vitality renewal.
Okay. Thank you for that, Martin.
He does that for free.
Does he?
He's done it for me recently.
Good man. I know it's a horrible question, but just as a guideline, what kind of amounts of money are we talking about?
Well, let me tell you now, for the price of a... what's the meal where you're going and get a bag of crisps, a Diet Coke and a sandwich?
Yeah. Lunchtime specials, yeah.
Lunchtime
$4.99 at Shell.
It's cheaper than that. £3 odd. For the price of one of those lunchtime saver meals is... Literally, if, per day, would buy a family between 40 and 45 with three children a very comprehensive private medical insurance policy.
Okay, cool. So, that's a good rule of thumb.
Great example.
Yeah. And a couple of Costa coffees a week over the month would buy you an extremely comprehensive policy for a child up to the age of 20.
Right, okay.
So save yourself the calories, invest it in a private medical policy.
Don't eat.
Lose weight and live longer.
Don't eat. Don't drink coffee. Take out medical insurance. You'll be well anyway because you know be below the BMI and you won't have coffee problems, will you? So
Paul, with your vitality, you should be using the vitality status. You should be as fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, absolutely.
With those benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even know what I've got covered.
Right, there you go.
Cool. Well,
can I ask a question? You've mentioned Vitality. Mm. I think I see a lot of Vitality advertising. I think they've been sponsoring the Six Nations. I've seen a lot of their advertising recently. Is it fair to say that companies that have got big advertising budgets that you see everywhere aren't necessarily always the best value when it comes to private medical?
No, it just means that they're spending their money in a different direction. Mm. We've got some really, really good insurers out there at the moment. And, I quite regularly go into larger companies, and one recently in Maidstone, and save them £40,000 a year on their private medical insurance. Right. Increase the benefits, but save the money, and somebody as an individual saving them money as well. So we deal with individuals and corporates.
Right. I've got no vested interest in this at all. I've always kind of shied away from looking at alternatives to my health cover because I just assume that when you've been with someone such a long time and you've built up some history and all the rest of it, that if I tried to change, it would cost me an absolute fortune. Is that
your history makes no difference?
Yeah.
No,
well, I haven't got any history.
Look, an insurer.
I've never made a claim ever.
You're unfortunately, if you're doing it on your own, you're not going through a broker. You're a number.
Yeah.
You are a number, and literally, they want to phone you up and say, "Do you want to renew, Mr. Andrews?"
Yeah.
And you're probably going to say yes, and you're not going to know exactly what that policy's got in it. And it's a bit like going into a red paint shop buying red paint. That's all they've got on the counter.
Yeah.
And that's the policy that you've got to make sure you're not looking.
Yeah.
There are good alternatives.
Okay. Cool. I better come and see you, hadn't I? Really.
Okay. At least have a conversation.
Yeah. I know you are.
Yeah. Cool. Good. Kevin, thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
It's a really interesting topic, and there's a lot more that we could talk about, so maybe we'll get you back at some point, because I'm also fascinated by this, what I would call key man insurance type thing, where,
that's another one.
Yeah.
Key where man, shareholder, business protection is a specialist there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. Absolute pleasure to talk to you. If people want to find out about your services with medical insurance, how can they do that?
You can email me directly at kevin.bates@medichealthcare.co.uk or info@medichealthcare.co.uk. I'm on the usual social media sites such as Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook. And just ask around. A lot of people in Kent know I am and know me. And I'm always around to... Just look it up.
Fantastic. Kevin, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
We're almost at the end of the show. I've just had another 140 tweets come in, so we ain't going to be reading those.
Shall I read an email quickly?
Yeah, go for it. You might as well do something.
So I think we had an advert from for ZC Live earlier on that people may have heard. But in case you didn't, the date is Friday the 1st of June. It's at the Strood Academy in Rochester. It's 8:30 till 4 p.m. and it's free to attend. And those, I've certainly been to one or two of those in the past that Zoe's run, and they are a fantastic learning session, as well as a great networking opportunity as well. So if you'd like to learn how to accelerate your digital and social media marketing in your business, you need to get yourselves along to that. I guess you've probably got the booking details on your website, have you? Because there aren't any here.
For ZC Social Media?
ZC Live.
Yeah, well, the best thing to do is to go to...
ZCSocialMedia.com.
ZCSocialMedia.com and look at the events page.
Have a look on there. Yeah. Good. 1st of June.
Absolutely. I've got an email here from Daryl Lynham. We were talking about this earlier. I've just set up four dates and I'll sort out some more. But here's the ones to start with. 2 by 2 hour GDPR intros on the 27th of April and the 14th of May, and 2 1-day GDPR intro and prep on the 18th of May and the 25th of May. And here's the site to link to find out more about them and to book. It's the gdrpeople.co.uk/booktoday.
I heard someone mistakenly refer to GDPR the other day in a networking pitch, their elevator pitch, as GDPRIP. I think it was.
Okay.
That's how fed up they were with it.
Cool. I want to tell you some events, and some of them have been rescheduled for the recent snowy weather. And these are events taking place with Dragon Co-working. They've got the Dragons 10. Which is a business startup event starting at 6:30 p.m. on the 5th of April, 6:30 to 9:30. 10 influential speakers all giving a 10-minute talk about the first and most important thing you need to nail in your startup or new business. And the speakers are Ash Lawrence on business mindset, Zoe Cairns on social media, Emwin Cooper on marketing, Sally Marshall, the importance of numbers, Neil Dixon on website design, Ian Morris on legal matters, the absolutely lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes on employment law, Natalie Thompson on accounting, David English on startup finance, Nicola Dedman on banking, and Kate Sedgwick-Jones on branding. Everyone who attends the event has the chance of winning our startup suitcase, full of useful resources, advice from our speakers, and free stuff worth over a grand. Can't be bad.
Wow.
There's a business clinic on the 23rd of March at 12:30 a.m. That'll be 12:30 p.m. I think, actually. More likely.
Might be on the after Slopeoff.
Yeah, it could be, yeah, on the way back from Slopeoff. No, 23rd of March, 12:30 p.m. Whatever your business dilemma, come along and we'll help sort it out. And then on the 11th of April, how to use LinkedIn, 4:30 p.m. with Facebook making it more difficult for businesses. It's more important than ever to be on LinkedIn. Molly Moodle, that's Molly Wright, will give you the knowledge to perfect your profile. All of these things can be booked on dragoncoworking.co.uk. You've got 30 seconds.
Is anybody out there thinking about moving this year and not sure whether they should or shouldn't, whether they can afford to or not? So another Supply My Business and Business Bunker friend, Scarlett Financial Services, will offer you a free review of your house moving options. And there's all sorts of government schemes out there, borrower schemes out there, there's stamp duty ambush you need to think about, what's happening with interest rates. If you're not sure and you want some impartial advice, Scarlett Financial Services.
Thank you, Martin. That's it. We're at the end of another show. I can't even tell you about Boy George later, but it'll be on at 11 o'clock, as always, here on Channel Radio. Tune in on Friday for the Business Bunker Extra Show, presented by the lovely Amanda Flanders. And do listen in to that, 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock on Friday, Business Bunker Extra. But you've been listening to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White, and our fantastic guest, Mr. Paul Kane of Kane & Beer, Mr. Peter Andrews, and Mr. Kevin Bates. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you with another show next week. Have a fabulous week. See you all soon. Bye-bye. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.